All right, it is a rainy, rainy Tuesday. We're up to maybe 3 inches of rain in much of the Twin Cities. Your lawn should be looking good. Welcome to Drive Time. It's Jason. Hour three, Dan is here. Mark Fry is here. And let's pick up on a story that Mark had in the news for the D-Rush Hour lead.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And we start with three Twin Cities area softball players who are suing the Attorney General as part of an effort to remove transgender athletes from softball. All of this because there is one player that plaintiffs allege was born male. A player who is a pitcher and is blowing away the other competitors in the league. I have shared my position on people who are transgender. And when it comes to sports, in my view, when you make a choice to get medical intervention and change the way you were born, you give up the chance to compete in a gendered sport. That's the trade-off. The lawsuit is against the Attorney General, but I can't help but feel for this high schooler. Over the next day and weeks, this story will continue, as it already has been news around the nation, around the world. And a lot of people are going to use this story as people use every story to make their point, to dunk on somebody else, to show how better they are or on either side of this issue. But the truth is, there is a young high school girl who is trying to play a game that she loves and is trying to go to class and be a family member. And I feel for her. I do. Because as you make your point, as you make your social media post, as you dunk on somebody else, there is a human being in the middle of this. We don't know all of the details about this Twin Cities area athlete's journey. And frankly, should we? I don't know. Do I like the Minnesota Athletic League's policy? I do not. Do I think that this policy of allowing athletes to play in whatever sport that they identify with is a good policy? I do not. Do I have love and concern for the person in the middle of this? I do. I do. Basketball on the agenda. Here in the Twin Cities tonight, the Timberwolves begin their run to the Western Conference Championship. In just about 15 minutes, we'll have an extended interview with my favorite online Timberwolves fan, Amy Hockert from Fox 9. Amy is out of her mind with her fandom. Amy and I also talk a little bit about the Minnesota Lynx, because with all of the playoff excitement, the Lynx are ready to get things going as well. The home opener is tomorrow night, and our friend Carly Knox, the president of business operations for the Minnesota Lynx, is with us at the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline to talk about that opener. Carly, it's good to have you with us.
Hey, good evening. How's everyone doing?
You know what? We're fired up about hoops in this town, which I think is always good for the Lynx as well, right? When you have the Lynx rocking, as we've had a real nice start to the season, and you got the Wolves still in it. I don't know, if you're a hoops lover, you're living the dream right now.
Oh, it's incredible. We always say these are high-class problems, the stresses of crossing over the two teams when, you know, we're in playoffs and the Wolves start and vice versa. And so exciting times for Minnesota basketball. We couldn't be happier for our brother team and vice versa. So wonderful times. So hopefully as fans, we come out and support each team and cheer both teams on to a championship.
So far, the Lynx have easily handled the Dallas Wings and the LA Sparks, and it's the Wings again here tomorrow And it, what's the situation like? What's the ticket sales like? What are we looking for tomorrow night?
Yeah, absolutely. Already sold out in the lower level and well into the upper level. But, you know, obviously it's everyone's first opportunity to come out and cheer on the Minnesota Lynx, who took it to Game 5 of the WNBA Finals. And such a special team that we have. And also wonderful to welcome Paige Beckers back to Minnesota. And it's going to be rocking there tomorrow night and a lot of fun. So we're excited.
Carly, I think that people are being too nice to Paige Beckers. And I'm like, she is on our opponent's team. We had a city name themselves Paige Beckers here. I feel like I'm the only person outraged about this, but like I'm not interested. Good, Paige, you had a great run. I'm glad you were one of us, but Texas can have you now. I'm done with her.
Oh my goodness. Well, listen. You know, much respect, you know, Paige and Caitlin, their favorite WNBA teams in history were the Minnesota Lynx. So they grew up on the Lynx and our dynasty and, you know, our historic runs with that team and, like, fell in love with the WNBA through the Minnesota Lynx. So there's plenty of love to go around. So hopefully welcome her with a big L tomorrow.
There we go. Because what I'm hearing from you is that would there even be a Paige or a Clark if it wasn't Beckers Clark if it wasn't for the Lynx? Maybe no.
I mean, I don't think the Lynx can take all the credit, but we can certainly talk about you know, the inspiring women that we had on the team during that time and how phenomenal they were. And, you know, you talk about Simone Augustus and Maya Moore and Sylvia Fowles and Lindsey Whalen or Rebecca Brunson. I mean, these are some of the greatest players to ever do it. And, you know, as referenced by Women's Basketball Hall of Fame and Naismith Hall of Fame, we got Maya and Syl going in this year. And June 14th, we're honoring Simone Augustus for her induction into both Hall of Fames last year. And, like, I think people forget, like, how historic that team was and how many people they inspired. And so, you know, are we the reason they're in the W now? You know, certainly can't take, you know, all the credit for that.
I'll give you the credit for it.
Inspired them.
How about a little more love for our own team? All right. I'm cheering for Nafisa Collier. All right. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Like, we're happy
That's
for
That's what
you.
I love about you.
All right. Carly, we hope you pack it in tomorrow night. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Go Lynx and go Wolves.
All right. Good stuff. Carly Knox from the Minnesota Lynx, the head of business operations. Get your tickets for tomorrow. One more story in the lead for us. And our third item brings us to a guy that all you have to do is yell out his name. And you know what we're talking about. Norm!
Afternoon, everybody. Norm! How you doing, Norm? What do you know?
Not enough.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norm!
Norman?
Hey, Norm?
I heard of that stuff.
Better give me a tall one, guys. I like it.
Afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Norm!
Norman?
Here's the pitch. How you doing, Norm?
Cut the small talk and give me a beer.
George Wendt died today. He was 76, a Chicago native. Da Bears, you know that Chicago accent. Did you know he was the uncle of Jason Sudeikis? George Wendt, 76 years old. Jason Sudeikis was Ted Lasso. And still is Ted Lasso. He's alive and well. But one of the iconic TV characters of all time.
Sudeikis, also a one-time SNL cast member and was part of Da Bear's schedule or sketch. So family tradition then.
Pretty cool. That is the lead. Page two continues in just a minute. We're going to talk about some of the best golf courses of America right here in our backyard and a local angle on the new Pope that involves a movie theater in Roseville when we come back. D-Rush Hour News Headlines, page two, and we begin with the news that several of the best golf courses, because everyone's lawn is going to look like a golf course after all of this rain, but a lot of the best golf courses in America are in our backyards. Wow. From the tee right into the cup that fast. That's amazing.
It's pretty good.
It's a heck of a shot. Bring me the news with the write-up from Golf Digest. Now, Minnesota only have one course in the top 100 courses in America. Wisconsin had four. So our top course is Interlochen Country Club in Edina, number 64. Golf Digest wrote about Interlochen Country Club the way I wrote about my high school girlfriend. Interlochen's edginess is back, with ominous strategically arranged bunkers guarding greens and fairway lines, and the expanded putting services presenting a range of come-and-get-me hole locations that haven't been seen in ages.
Hey, now.
Ouch. My gosh. That explained why Fabio was on the cover of this. Five courses in Wisconsin that made the top 100. Milwaukee Country Club in River Hills. Sand Valley. Oh, Sand Valley is so cool. Number 69. Erin Hills Golf Course in Hartford at 49. And Whistling Straits in Sheboygan at number 29. So what about our, like, what about the Quarry? What about the Wilderness? What about Hazeltine? What about the Classic? Hazeltine only one to crack the second 100 greatest. We're getting a little ripped off, I would say. What do I know? Well, honestly, I mean, what do I know about anything, but specifically about golf? I'm not your guy. Local angle on the new Pope, and this is a real local angle because the Pope was here and he went to a movie theater in Roseville.
Oh, yeah. Well, me and the Lord, we got an understanding.
We're on a mission from God.
Fighter Press talking about the summer of 1980. Now he's Pope Leo the 14th. At that time, he is Bob Prevost. Went to see the Blues Brothers. A mission from God. Goes with a Lutheran friend. This sounds like the setup to a joke. So a priest and a Lutheran go to a movie theater in Roseville. The Roseville Four, it's now gone. They ate at the Black Forest Inn. Do we believe this story from the Reverend John Snyder? Do you know John Snyder, Lutheran?
I don't, but...
Senior pastor
I'm
at St.
Sure.
Stephen's Lutheran Church in
I'm
West
St. Sure
Paul.
I care for the tone with which you're impugning his honor.
I'm just saying... What I did in the summer of 1980. Well, who can forget? Me and Bob Prevost. Just a little bit. It's just an excessive amount of detail in this story. It's like, although who am I to criticize as I did a full half hour about yes. spilling coffee on someone in the subway.
Although technically that was just this weekend. This was many years ago. But yeah, no, I absolutely believe this.
All right.
Because everybody's coming out of the woodwork with these stories, right? It's the first time we've ever had an American Pope. So, you know, the White Sox got video of him at the World Series.
But they were in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Prevost is, you know, a Catholic in the Augustinian order. Snyder is at Luther Seminary in the Evangelical Lutheran Church. So they're at this clinical pastoral education group at Abbott Northwestern Hospital. So you're learning, like, how to be a chaplain kind of deal. Huh? Sounds like a hell of a weekend.
That's
right. He actually had photos. Well, I shouldn't say a hell of a weekend. But
too late. Photo.
Seems like it's probably true. This other part I thought was amazing. So, you know, if you know a guy who gets a vote on the Pope, like, do you send him a text? Like, pick a good one. I don't know. Like, what do you say? It's so weird to think, like, you knew a guy.
Yeah.
And you still know him to the degree that you could send him a note. So according to this story in the Pioneer Press, he reached out to his old friend about a week before the conclave, wishing him well as a voting member of the College of Cardinals.
And you just let him know you're keeping him in your prayers.
And he responds, love to you and Polly. Thanks for your friendship through the years.
Very kind.
It's all in God's hands. Blessings, Bob. So crazy.
How many times do you think he's screwed up the signature and started to go to Bob and then, it's Leo now. I got to do Leo.
I'm telling you, he's signing all his checks. Bob Prevost is like, hey, the bank won't even. That's page two of the D Rush Hour news headline. Let's leave it at that. That's enough. I think once you're making check writing jokes about the new Pope,
you're pretty much done.
That's when it's time to hit the button and say, in a minute, Amy Hockert. Finally, a respectable journalist on this show. Amy Hockert joins us to get us ready for the Timberwolves tonight. Because if you only know Amy Hockert as the buttoned up, type A focused news anchor on Fox 9, you do not know the unhinged, ridiculous Timberwolf fan that shows up on social media. We'll ask Amy what's going on with all of that when we come back. Timberwolves in game one of the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row. Your Minnesota Timberwolves. I know we're not used to this sort of playoff success, but give Chris Finch, give Anthony Edwards, give the team their flowers. And part of the fun for me is being with other crazy fans on social media. And my favorite follow when it comes to the Timberwolves is the longtime, terrific news anchor and journalist at Fox 9, Amy Hockert, who is Amy is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I would describe you as a ridiculous, unhinged, unabashed fan, but especially ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's like 20 plus years of being a news anchor and reading teleprompters your whole career. And then somebody gives you an opportunity to just say what you really think and you just get unhinged and you just go for it. And that's what it feels like right now. Because I don't cover sports, I can say whatever I want about sports. Like Jim Rich can't do that. You know, nobody on our team can do that who's covering sports. But I get this pass and it is the most fun thing ever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what you do, I think, is you channel like the same energy that we have in just like that any fan has, right? I mean, is that sort of the reaction you get from Timberwolves Nation?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But I think, and I don't think anything I say is like that great or funny, but I think because it comes out of somebody who you don't maybe expect to be unhinged like that, like that's what makes it kind of entertaining to people. I don't know, but honestly, I don't.
Come on now. You're not a funny person. Give me a break.
I am not.
You don't think of yourself as funny?
No. Jason, I've lived with myself my entire life. I am not funny. I am the biggest stick in the mud. I am the fun killer in my house. Like I run a really tight ship. Like this, honestly, at work, I'm just intense and type A and ask anybody like that is who I am. But when it comes to sports, especially Minnesota sports, it just runs so deep. And like a lot of people, I grew up, you know, my grandma got me started on the Timberwolves way back in 89, you know, watching Vikings with my dad when I was younger growing up. Like these are my favorite core memories. And so because it's so deep, it's like, it just taps into like another place in my heart and in my brain. And you just embrace it. And I don't know, you know, you're so deep in it, you know, all the sort of inside jokes and the, you know, I remember the first time I heard Wally the Beer Man knew who I was and I was like, wait, are you serious? Like, I felt like I'd made it, you know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, you just, I don't know. It just, everything for me that is sweet and like nostalgic revolves around Minnesota sports.
Amy Hockert is with us from Fox 9. There is something about that, right? Being the news anchor. And like you said, you are intense. You are focused on journalism, focused on doing a great job. You just are. Like, I've known you for a long time. But so when I open up X and see, no, you're the psycho who's wide awake at 4 a.m. because of basketball. it's way funnier than if that were coming from someone who was a comedian. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, there is literally nothing special about what I'm saying or doing or feeling. But I think it's just that that kind of shock factor for people, especially in this market, because, you know, news anchors are sort of, it's not like LA where they're like, yeah, I don't have time for you because here's, you know, this A-list celebrity. Like yeah. Around here, people really sort of, they care about their news anchors, and they, you know, maybe not as much anymore, but you know, I don't know. I just feel like people are like, what is going on? And they just, they maybe tune in to see what I'm going to say next. And, you know, is she going to get fired? Like, will she walk into work one day and her bosses are like, that's it, lady, you just went off the deep end. I mean, you just don't know where it's going to go. But it is genuine. It is so genuine. And I'm not a big cursor. I don't. In fact, I went most of my adult life without, you can ask anybody, like, I really didn't swear a whole lot. And then just recently in the last year or so, I feel like you reach a certain age and then your kids get to be a certain age and you're like, ah, screw it. Let's just be who we are. And so I try to keep it clean as much as possible, but, you know, with a little a nod to a naughty word here and there.
You called for the OKC matchup. You said that you didn't think you could mentally handle a Westbrook, Braun, Murray series.
Yeah.
So beat the best to be the best, baby. How do you feel about game one tonight?
Can I be honest with you? I'm terrified. I am terrified to my core. And I almost feel like, and this is the most Minnesota sports thing ever, but I almost feel like I have to say out loud, like, it's probably going to be OKC in five. Like, I just feel like I need to put that in the universe just to check that box.
That now you have officially established your Minnesota sports fan bona fides. You have to, like, well, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to overexpect. I mean, they are the number one seed and they are a tremendous basketball team. They just are.
Yeah.
But we're pretty good. We're pretty good.
I know we are. We are. It's just the consistency is what scares me. The lack of consistency from this team. And I love them. And I from all accounts, I get a lot of my information from Jim Peterson, who's one of the great broadcasters and former player and coach for the Lynx. And just he knows so much and he's around them so much. And he told me 3 or 4 months ago, before anybody else saw it, he's like, this team is better than last year's team. He said, Chris Finch is the best coach we've ever had in this organization. He said, I've never seen a group so tight-knit, like behind the scenes, to off the court. They really, really care. So when you put all those things together and it just feels different, you can't help but get excited. And but again, like that other shoe is just right there, Jason. It's just ready to drop at all times. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to shake that.
I do think, Amy, that as sports fans in Minnesota, it's difficult to get your arms around the fact that there are now expectations, right? Like last year with the Timberwolves, it was an improbable run to the Western Conference Finals. And this year it looked like things were going to crap at the beginning, right? I mean, the chemistry wasn't there.
Yeah.
Figuring out the Randall mix. We all loved Kat personally, so to lose Kat was tough. But do you look at it now and think like, maybe there's going to have to be a psychology adjustment, especially among those of us who are Timberwolves fans, because two Western Conference Finals in a row is validation. It's not a fluke. It's a program that's set up to win, and now we should expect them to win.
Just even you saying those words is making like the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Like, I can't hear it because it won't sink in. It just won't. It just slides right off. But I hear you. And I think we have to probably get there. I think maybe what 6 or 7 more seasons like this, and we'll probably start to feel that way. But right now,
maybe we'll still be waiting. We'll still be waiting.
Yeah, there's no roadmap for this. Jason, there's no roadmap. Like, this is crazy. Last year, you're right. Fluky, kind of like, whoa, we, you know, fell into it. This year, we kind of fell into it again because, like you said, the season just didn't look like it was going to be promising. And then all of a sudden, like, playoff Timberwolves basketball, like, what the heck? It's all over the place. It's all over the place. Yeah, they played great, but they've also played, like, absolute crap in the playoffs. So that's where I'm just like, I just, the buy-in for me is really, really hard, 100%. Ant's been super spotty. Like, I just... You know, it's just part of being a fan.
It is part of being a fan. Amy Hockert is with us from Fox 9. Do you have this same intensity for all of the teams? I mean, this is a safe space. I know as a news anchor, you feel like if you favor one sport more than others, like the hockey fans will come for. But I would say the hockey fans, how about win a series and get back to me? You know what I mean?
I definitely, so the nostalgic sort of sentimental piece for me is the Wolves for my grandma, who's 99 years old and still I drive 3 hours to watch games with her whenever I can. I'm going to try to watch these two this weekend with her. 99, so lives on her own. So she got me started in Wolves basketball and she loves it so much. And then again, my dad with the Vikings and just that being my favorite memory growing up was just watching the games with him. Those are the two that are closest to my heart. But I follow those the closest, but yeah. I will say I'm definitely, I cheer for any Minnesota team, the Gophers or whomever, but I definitely like the Wild, for instance, as they were making this push, I was watching all the games, you know, you get into it, but I'm more of a casual fan that's just really supportive. So I have a lot of respect for those who are hardcore, but Vikings and Wolves got to be my team. And the Lynx. Oh my gosh. I've fallen in love with these Lynx. I got to be honest. Like, I'm just obsessed.
I feel you because I feel like a poser with the hockey crowd, right? Like, I love it. Right? I get on board. But, like, I don't know the game. Basketball, compared to the real people who know the game, I don't know the game. But compared to a casual fan, like, I think you and I know basketball because we love it. There's something about the pace. There's something about the individual players, right? What is it that besides the nostalgia that draws you to this Wolves team this year?
I feel very lucky because I get to talk to people like Jim Peterson, right? I get to listen to, I get kind of rolled into all the little press conferences afterwards and I listen to all that stuff. And so I think the more you invest in them, and I just do it naturally because of my job, because I need to talk about it on the air. But the more you do that, the more it just feeds on itself. So I would say that, I would say just the people. I mean, we don't really have any villains on this team. We don't have anybody, I know not everybody loves Ant, but I just feel like all the pieces are in place and they're so accessible. You get to see the looks on their faces, their body language, everything other than like football or hockey where they're all, you just don't get that same sort of interface with an actual, you know, human being. It's all equipment. So I don't know. It's just kind of a different level with basketball.
Any predictions for tonight? I love the nervousness. I feel it too. I think we're all nervous.
I want to say we're going to win. I do. I love this team so much, but I think it's okay to be a diehard fan and also be like, I don't know. I hope they come out, but I don't know. I mean, it's going to be hard. I can't even say, honestly. I just have to hope for the best.
Amy, I'm going to be cheering for the Wolves, but I'm also going to be worried about you. I just want you to know I'm going to be thinking about you as I watch the game tonight from home. I'm very worried about your well-being.
Well, can I tell you, you should be, because I just told you before I hopped on this call, I was in the doctor's appointment, and I was in there for an extra 20 minutes because they had to take my blood pressure 3 different times, like with the machine where it's like takes 5 minutes before it even does anything.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, let's just try it one more time before you go. I'm like, nope, it's still high. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I have no history of high blood pressure, if that tells you anything.
It's straight up Timberwolves related high blood pressure.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, there's 100%. No medication for that. There isn't.
Nope.
All right.
Well, a title, you know.
A title would help. A title would help. Good stuff. Well, everybody should follow you on Twitter, at Amy Hockert, and they should watch you on Fox 9 and on the streaming service as well, where you hang out most of the day. Amy, so good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Let's go, Wolves.
Look, we're trying to appeal to the younger demographics. We had a meeting and we said, you know what we need to do? Cooler traffic music. Cooler weather music. I do think it is cooler. And then I just killed the move. What is happening here? Absolute mood killer.
Replacements, man. It's a classic.
Mm. It's not exactly an energy match.
No, it's not.
It's fine. Hey, congrats to Gabriel in Woodbury, who has an email address that made us both chuckle.
It's fantastic. I can't obviously give it on the air, but
this is a topic for some show.
Yes.
Your embarrassing childhood email address, right?
Childhood?
Gabriel, nothing embarrassing about it. He's in Woodbury. The word fatty is part of it. Gabriel and Woodbury won a 4-pack of tickets this Saturday, May 24th, against Kansas City Royals. Let's go get tickets. First 10,000 fans get a Royce Lewis City Connect bobblehead. So presented by Sheboygan. So get your tickets at twins.com/.
I do wonder, is it going to be City Connect with blue pants or with the white pants? Because they changed the pants to the white pants this year.
Oh.
Did they update that on the bobblehead plans, or has this been in the works for so long it's the blue?
These are important.
These are the things I worry
about. These are important
about.
Questions. Yes,
absolutely.
Twins game tonight, delayed till tomorrow. So if you're looking for a baseball day tomorrow and you've got a parka, show up at noon or 12:30.
So what they're going to do is
at finishing the old
at
game?
Noon tomorrow, they'll start the game that was suspended last night. So they'll start somewhere in the top of the third inning or so.
Yep.
Play the rest of that game. When that one's done, 30-minute break, and then tomorrow's game would follow that one. The game that was scheduled for tonight is being made up as part of a doubleheader in September. So
okay,
a lot of moving parts.
We may or may not have a show tomorrow. So what you should do is go to YouTube.
Yes.
And the WCCO radio account and subscribe to our account, first of all. And today's show, I will rewind to hour two. So at the two-hour mark, you can hear what happened to me on the subway that created a story that I will be made fun of by my family probably for the rest of my life. And then you also can judge me on the way I tried to fix it. And who doesn't like to judge others? I know a lot of you are like, oh, judge lest we be judged ourselves. But the truth is, you don't have to be judged at all. You can just judge me. That's the beauty of listening to this show. Go to the YouTube, check it out. Let's hope for a Timberwolves win tonight. Henry's next.